This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Every game is important.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
That's why Isaac and Suk are ready to predict every NFL game's outcome with their usual laser-like accuracy.
They go so deep.
Football's football.
This is the Fans Pro Football Challenge with Isaac and Suk. Brought to you by Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com. The Pro Football Challenge on 1080.
Cut that meat.
The Fan.
All right, every Thursday at 4 p.m. or thereabouts, we take the lines from the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app. Good little weekend last weekend. Combined, we were 7-2.
Juicy.
Mike Lynch leading the way. He went 3-0. Lynch had Arizona, Pittsburgh, and Tampa.
Thank you for the hold, David Moore.
Yeah, right. Big Zook, winners also on Tampa and Pitt, but lost Chicago, and I was on Green Bay, Carolina that won and lost New England. So that puts our season records against the spread. I am 11-10, Mike Lynch 12-9, and Big Zook 14-6-1. So I believe that makes me first up.
Go for it.
Well, I'm going to go on tonight's game, fellas. I like tonight's game. And I like the Atlanta Dirty Bird Falcons getting what appears to be 1.5 points.
A little revenge for losing to them earlier in the year.
Although I bet this on the money line. The Falcons, they actually have one of the best passing offenses in the league if Julio Jones plays. He did not play the last time these two teams met, and of course Carolina won by 7. He is playing tonight. They average 400 yards a game overall. So, to me, Atlanta is not a traditional doormat, despite what their record says. I mean, they are 1-6. But, my God, they basically beat full-strength Dallas. And I think that game was in Dallas. And they almost beat full-strength Chicago. I mean, they could easily be 4-3. And, of course, last week, they won. But Todd Gurley had his head up his ass and didn't go down early enough. So I think
Atlanta's the best 1-6 team that we've seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, they got a good offense. They've already lost to Carolina, and I'm not sure the Panthers are good enough to easily sweep a division foe. I like Matt Rhule, but in this instance, this is Atlanta's season. This is their last stand, especially with the way they lost last week and being 1-6. And here's an interesting stat before I turn it over to Mike. The first-year head coaches in the first 9 weeks of the season cover just 17% of their time on their first Thursday night game. I find that interesting. Is it a learning curve for a new coach like Matt Rhule to get a team ready for a Thursday night game? Christian McCaffrey is not playing. I am on Atlanta plus 1.5.
My first pick is going to be Baltimore, who are minus 3.5 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, I might want to buy this to minus 3 or wait for it to get to 3 if possible. But I'm still going to take the Ravens at minus 3.5. So I've been on the Steelers for the last couple of weeks. But the Steelers are now going to be playing their second straight road game, and the Ravens are coming off a bye. Also, the big weakness of the Steelers is their pass defense. It actually let up 100-yard receivers in 5 of their games this year. So they've been really good against the run, which is good against Baltimore, but they're not good against the pass. This note is what sold me on this pick, because I was looking at the spreads, and I was like, oh, wow, I mean, Pittsburgh's plus 3.5, and they're undefeated. There's two things, actually. One, the line started at 5.5, and it's been bet down. So the public is going heavy on Pittsburgh, and I want to fade the public. Second, John Harbaugh, off a bye week when he has 14 or 15 days in between games, is 9-3, 75% winning percentage. I'm going to take the Ravens off a bye against the Steelers in their second straight road game in a divisional matchup, -3.5, but I'm going to look to get -3 for myself.
I like that as well. One of my better plays, and I knew the Harbaugh stat as well. So in my personal betting, that would be my big play. My other one that I really like is I like Miami. I think the Rams are still overrated. I'm not sold on the Rams yet.
Didn't you just say they were the best team in the NFC West, maybe?
No, I said that was the 49ers.
That was me. I was on the Rams.
I don't know what...
This spread is 3.5.
3.5. I think the Rams are overrated. When you look at their wins, Dallas, Philly, Giants, Washington, and the Bears. And the Bears' offense is absolutely abysmal. You're going on the road against Miami, coming off a bye. You're getting to it. I think there's going to be some enthusiasm there. And I think Miami is one of the more underrated teams in the league. I don't know if they win, but I think they'll keep this close. And you look at some of the rookie quarterbacks and you know, the success they're having there. I'm gonna say that Tua gives them a shot in the arm. And I just like the way Miami's playing at home. I think they keep this thing close. And I think there's a chance they can win this outright. So I'm going to take the Dolphins. I'm going to get the points. And I'm going to go with one of my more underrated teams, which potentially playing one of the more overrated teams in the Rams, who I'm not completely sold on yet.
Well, I'm taking more points for the rest of my picks. I'm going to go with Denver +3 against the Chargers. Now, I love Justin Herbert, but I don't like rookie quarterbacks on the road. That scares me. This is a division rivalry game, always tougher for the favorite. Chargers are I think they're a good value when they catch points, but I'm not sure they're great as a road favorite in the division. The Broncos are coming off getting smoked at home. This is a season-saving spot for them, and they know it. I'll take the better defense getting points at home. Denver, their defense is one of the best in the red zone in all of the NFL. I think you're going to get a lot of field goals here for the Chargers. Denver's losses, too, by the way, you could argue are the four best teams in the league. Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Tampa, and Kansas City. Those are Denver's losses. This opened as a pick 'em. The world has piled on the Chargers. I'm going to go the other way in a Drew Lock stunner. Plus, we have a Kovis distraction in LA now. I guess they had a Kovis guy today, and they had to shut down practice. So I'll be on Denver. I'll take the home dog with a good defense +3.
I'm going to go against Suk's pick with my second pick. I'm going to take the Rams -3.5 against Miami, and it's solely because it's the first career start of Tua. They're going up against a defense which I think really showed itself pretty well this last week, watching them on Monday Night Football against the Bears. Granted, it was the Bears.
Stopping the Bears' offense.
Who suck, and I've said that, and you guys need to agree with me at some point.
Wait till you hear my next play.
But I really do like the Rams this year. I'm more like Rop and think they might be the best team in the NFC West. I like their defense a lot. Because they can run the football, Jared Goff looks great again. It's important for them to run the football in Sean McVay's offense, and they've got a slew of good wide receivers and tight ends there. I just don't trust a rookie quarterback in his first start against a good defense. So I'm going to take the Rams -3.5.
I'm going to go here with who I think is the best team in the NFC West. We do know it is the best division. I still think it's San Francisco when healthy, and I know they're not completely healthy, but neither is Seattle here. And I think Seattle was riding high, but I think you saw against Arizona when they're not perfect. Their defense can't stop a nosebleed. And I like the way Garoppolo's playing since he's come back. I think they've gotten the running game going a little bit here. And I just think San Francisco is clicking. And with Carson being beat up, their offensive line is beat up. And there's really no home field advantage here because of the lack of fans. I think San Francisco goes in here, and I think they win outright. And I'm getting 3 points in this. I'll go ahead and take the points and give me the Niners.
Do we have a report on Jamal Adams' status, or
he did not
practice yesterday?
He did not practice with a groin in the illness. So,
what about the Niners? Jaquiski Tartt and Jimmy Ward both missed last week.
Yeah,
that's a big one. I think have we seen if they've practiced? Because I'm with you on the Niners if those guys play.
I have not seen the latest update on
that. Tartt was not participating today. Ward was participating.
Was
today.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I like that play. I think San Francisco's better, but God, the Niners are so damn banged up. Debo Samuel's out
hurt.
Now.
Yeah.
I just go off of when you look at big mismatches, and I think the Niners offensive line and the way they're playing versus the atrocious nature of Seattle. Remember, Dunlap's not playing in this game. Give me the front.
All right. Guess what, Mike? Chicago plus 4.5 against New Orleans.
Ew.
Lock it up.
Ew.
The Saints are overrated. They just don't have the explosive blowout potential they used to, and I feel like they still get that type of respect. Drew Brees is basically Alex Smith now. I mean, he averages 5.8 yards per pass. He doesn't throw longer than 20 yards ever. New Orleans plays close games. They've won 3 in a row, all close. Big showdown with Tampa next week also makes this a scary little trap game for them. This also, believe it or not, is the Saints' first game outside all season. They have been in a dome 6 straight weeks, or indoors 6 straight weeks. Now, the weather doesn't look too bad in Chicago, but that was always the old adage with the Saints and their offense is get them out on the grass. And Chicago's defense is legit. Anytime I can get the better defense at home catching points, similar to Denver, I'm in. Chicago's offense is not good, but this defense that they're up against isn't good either. Every team has scored at least 23 points on the Saints. So I think the Bears at least keep this close, if not win outright. I'll take Chicago plus 4.5.
My final pick is going to be the Tennessee Titans, who are 5.5-point favorites against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Titans have just continued to impress me. I know I bet against them last week because they have been a little bit lucky, but they're also good. Watching them play, I like Ryan Tannehill. He's a good quarterback. A.J. Brown is an incredible wide receiver. He is so much fun to watch. Corey Davis, who 3 years ago was supposed to pop, has finally popped this year, and he's healthy this week. He's a good wide receiver as well. The Bengals' defense is a sieve. There is a ton of problems in that locker room right now. You had Carlos Dunlap get traded away. You've got other guys trying to force trades away. You've got the disgruntled AJ Green. Joe Burrow's throwing the ball 79 times a game, and they still lose every single game. I'm going to take the Titans in a blowout on this one, minus 5.5.
This last one is merely out of spite, and I just think it's hilarious. I'm going to go ahead and lay the 19.5 points. Give me the Chiefs to win by 3 touchdowns plus over the Jets. Why? Just because.
Because the Jets suck.
Because the Jets suck, and Kansas City's really good. Plus, I think it's kind of fun to lay that many points.
The Jets are going to lose by 18, and you're going to be so mad.
It's going to come down to a missed extra point or
lay
something.
Lay $50 on it.
Trust me, I got mad last week when they missed the extra point in Cleveland, the jerks.
There's no reason to watch this game. I'll lay $50 on it, and all of a
sudden
there's,
watch a lick
there's
of it.
A reason to watch it now.
Not a lick. The NFL Challenge each week is brought to you by Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Injured? Don't trust just anyone with something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen, online at warrenallen.com. I will be on Atlanta plus 1.5, Denver plus 3, and Chicago plus 4.5. Souk will be on Miami plus 3.5, San Francisco plus 3, and Kansas City minus 19.5.
I love it.
Lynch, Baltimore minus 3.5, Rams minus 3.5, and Tennessee minus 5.5. All right. Have Souk and Mike's sports talk credibilities been restored? The debate rages on next on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. In the news is coming up next. You prepared for COVID-20? Not to be confused with COVID-19.
COVID-20.
Yep.
Ah, hell. We got a new one?
We do.
COVID-2 electric boogaloos coming out?
But that'll be in our next segment. Here we must address something very pressing to the show.
I really think it's kind of the lead story.
It is. Everybody's talking about it. Some controversy occurred earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Because Big Souk and Mike have to put their sports brains together and come up with enough backup quarterbacks in the NFL to restore their sports talk credibility.
Yeah. And this year it was harder than ever.
Well, renew it because we do tend to do pretty well.
Yeah, because last year you won. So, right, to keep your sports talk credibility.
Yes. Correct.
And this year it was harder because there was no preseason football, which, you know,
right,
kind of hurts the whole knowing who the hell the backups are.
It was a hard year, but I tell you what, the backup quarterback game this year was bananas because it came down to the very last pick.
Yes. And which was probably the hardest one of them all.
And it was the Jags. And we go by our lads' depth charts, mm-hmm. and they had Mike Glennon as the backup of Gardner Minshew.
And I had no clue who the Jags' backup
and
was.
And I guessed Jake Luton.
Yes.
You did.
Because I had seen talks that Jake Luton was going to win the backup job.
Well, he was third string on our lads. Now, and that cost, that you guys didn't get that cost you your sports talk credibility.
It did. No one's been listening to us ever since?
Nope. Well, guess what happened? Minshew got hurt. And look who may be coming into the game.
The key is look who may be coming into the game, because it was like 2 weeks ago.
Just the other day we were talking about this.
Yeah, it was like
I think you and I both saw the same quote.
It was a week or two ago that there was a report saying that if Minshew played poorly, that he was going to be benched, and that he was going to be benched for Mike Glennon. And we were like, well, that kind of solves the debate, because so far no one has taken a snap other than Gardner Minshew. And we said that this would be settled when we saw someone take a snap. Someone got hurt or someone got benched. And they said it was Glennon. We're like, oh, it's over. Well, today we're hearing that because Gardner might not go, he's got some thumb damage, that now it's Jake Luton.
Yeah, so we'll find out definitively if Gardner can't go, because they're on a bye this week.
Yeah.
So we have to wait on the edge of our seats. And then when Jacksonville plays Houston in week 9,
if he can't go,
whoever is at quarterback, that's all.
That's the answer.
Gardner Minshew, that's the answer.
Yes. But we thought this was
big.
We thought
this
was over and done with.
You know what's also confusing right now? Is that Adam Schefter in his article on ESPN.com says Mike Glennon is the backup.
Oh, no.
But Chris Mortensen tweeted, Jake Luton, a dark horse candidate, is going to be the backup, a surprising move who has had Mike Glennon active in a 1-6 season. And it's like, why can nobody figure out what they're going to do?
Well, I think, okay, here's
Doug
what
Marone
I...
intentionally being
now,
sneaky.
Listen, this is not to say that this is how this will go, because we have decided whoever comes in for Gardner Minshew, that's the backup.
Yes, we're not listening to reports. We will go with facts here.
Here's what I think. This is my philosophy on this. I think Mike Glennon has always been the backup, but Gardner Minshew getting hurt and they're 1-6, they're like, we know what Mike Glennon is. They don't know what they have in Jake Luton in terms of in-game experience. So I think they're just going to throw Jake Luton in there. That, to me, that doesn't necessarily mean he's been the backup. But in this instance, whoever starts that game, if it's not Gardner Minshew, that's the answer.
Rob, I feel like you're trying to cheapen the fact that we're going to get our credibility back here.
Rob doesn't want the credibility.
He doesn't want us to have credibility.
No, it's all Rob. It's all Rob.
You don't think that that could be true?
Well, of course I think that could be true.
Okay, well,
but I don't want you to say it, because then it cheapens our credibility.
Well, you guys, right now you don't have credibility.
No, we don't.
Okay.
Look, I accepted the fact for an entire year our credibility was gone.
I was not accepting it because I swore Jake Luton was the backup.
Mike's pulling an election sort of thing here. He's challenging all kinds of rules. He's taking it to the Supreme Court. And here we are, 7 weeks later or whatever, and now we get to find out the answer. We still have to wait another week, though, because they're on the damn bye.
Yeah. Do you think Jake Luton will be a little something in the NFL?
I don't know.
Phil?
I
liked how he slung it at Oregon State. He just couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, when he was healthy, right? I mean, again, stranger things have happened, but just like with the Gardner Minshew thing, do I think Jake Luton's going to be a starter in the NFL? No, I don't. Very rarely do you see that, where someone comes out of nowhere like that. Plus, if he does play in Jacksonville.
Yeah, when's the last time that happened?
It doesn't.
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, well, clearly, right?
Well, kind of.
He's had a broken throwing thumb, basically, so no wonder he looked bad.
Well,
the last
but nobody
weeks.
Thought he would be a starter.
Like, and he's really not, though.
I mean, that's true.
What?
He's not a starter.
I mean,
he started a year and a half straight.
My point is, he's a starter because Jacksonville doesn't have another quarterback.
No, also because he's good.
Okay.
Gardner Minshew.
Okay. Right. Zook's disgusted.
How about this? He doesn't start on 29 teams.
Well, Tom Brady, I mean, wasn't.
Gardner Minshew starts on the Bears.
Yes, he probably. Well, he probably does. He probably does start.
Wasn't
on the
Tom's
Bears.
Braids like a. He was six-round pick.
Tom Brady split time at Michigan.
No, so, I know, but he was six-round pick. But what would,
pick.
Did they? Would, I assume he was the backup coming into the season.
He was the backup. In fact, there's all this talk that no one saw.
He was the backup to Bledsoe.
To Bledsoe.
But they do say that when Brady got there, Brady was very impressive. No one saw this coming, but it wasn't like they just had, the, oh, my God, you know.
But you know who else is really impressive? Gardner Minshew.
Jake Luton.
The point is, it does not happen.
You seem so defeated by me, Stuke.
It does not happen very often.
He doesn't want to argue with you about it.
He doesn't like Gardner Minshew, and I love Gardner Minshew.
He doesn't want to lose another sports argument.
Now, it does happen sometimes, like with rookies. Russell Wilson did this. Dak Prescott did this.
Yeah.
Where you come
in. Just don't know how great they are.
You just don't know, right?
Because everybody said that Russell Wilson was too short.
Yeah. But, you know, Russ was.
Dumbest narrative ever.
Russ was player of the year in the Big Ten and
look
the
at Kyler Murray.
And the ACC. Yeah, he's a small
Drew
guy.
Drew Brees.
Hey, Seattle.
And Dak had a great career at Mississippi State. Luton really just had the 1 year at Oregon State that was. He was good, but let's not act like Luton lit the world on fire. I wish him all the best, but you know the odds are certainly stacked against him, and it's not even really fair. If Luton has to play next week, realize that being not the most mobile guy in the world and he's been injury prone, have you watched any of Jacksonville?
I saw the end of the Chargers game last week.
Gardner Minshew runs for his life every play. And so it's not fair because if Luton does get thrown in there, you know, he's a sitting duck. That doesn't mean that the kid can't play. It doesn't mean that he can't be better somewhere else. I just think that's a very, very tough situation to be successful in.
Well, maybe we could get Jake Luton, Sean Mannion matchup that we've always dreamed of.
Yes.
Because he's the backup for Goff, right?
Yeah.
With the Rams.
With the Rams.
Do they play? They don't play. Yeah, well.
Goff
would need to get hurt.
You know, Kurt Warner. I mean, like I said, it does
happen. There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, because Kurt Warner was he was like the Iowa Barnstormers. He played over in Europe, and then he went in the Arena League. And
great one. That's the best example right there.
Yeah.
Good call.
You know, the guy just came.
You know who else that I feel like, now this may just be totally revisionist history, but it's what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Rich Gannon sucked and then kind of went away and then became really good.
Yes.
Am I wrong about that?
Well, Gannon was kind of a bust.
Yeah, like he wasn't any good. And then all of a sudden.
Gruden resurrected him.
Was it Gruden?
Yeah. And he actually ended up having.
It's Carson Palmer too, right?
He ended up having an MVP year. That year they went to the Super Bowl. It was either that or the year before, which was the Tuck rule. He was the MVP. Hmm. And by the way, I think Sean Mannion's the backup now in Minnesota, not with the Rams.
Oh, is he Minnesota?
Yeah.
I thought he was with the...
He was, but he's not anymore.
I guess I don't know my backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, so I'm pretty certain that he's in Minnesota now.
Okay.
And the Rams have...
Josh Wolford. John Wolford.
Is that who that
Bill
is?
Bill Wolford.
I don't know who the Rams have.
Yeah, his name's John Wolford.
Yeah, John Wolford. He was one that we missed.
He played at Wake Forest.
Oh, yeah. That.
And he looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Now that's all you need to know.
Scrappy.
They say like Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie was...
Flutie?
One, Flutie wasn't that successful. And two, Flutie was a guy that was a college star that was deemed too small and had to bounce around the CFL and things like that. And then guys like Romo was really successful. He just came from a small school, and so no one had really heard of him. But he came in and ended up with a nice career.
Well, the Vikings don't play the Jags either, so our dreams of Mannion Luton... will not occur.
Yeah.
At least this season.
And someone's insane. Luton won't be a sitting duck. He'll be a sitting beaver.
Bah!
I just wish Luton could go to a place where he could play behind an O-line, you know.
Ah.
He's more of a prototypical stand-in-the-pocket guy. Real nice year for Oregon State. And hopefully gets a crack somewhere.
All right. Coming up next, it's time for In the News. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the time be 4:37.
Yes, it be.
It is Isaac and Suk. Thank you for being here. It is a great day. I love Thursday shows.
Do you?
Big fan. I'm also a big fan of Friday shows because we have Joey Harrington on.
And it's your last show of the week.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tune in tomorrow. For our big show. Right now, it is October 29, 2020. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Today is International Internet Day.
Okay. Seems like...
We take the internet for granted, don't we?
We do. Although, you know...
Already.
Less people than you think have the internet.
Okay, how many people are in the world?
What do you mean? 7.5?
Bill?
Yeah. I don't think we're at 8, Bill, but
okay.
I think we're in the 7s.
How many of those people have internet?
I thought I've seen different. I've seen like kind of different numbers pop up, but gosh, I'm gonna say like 20 maybe 25%.
According to internet? Isn't that ironic?
According to internet, how many people have internet?
Don't you think? 59%.
Really?
Yeah. That's but this says how many people use the internet. I don't know. Does that change it for you?
No.
I mean, access to?
Access to? I thought it was less.
It says four. So we're at about 7.8 billion people on the planet.
Okay.
As of October 2020, they are saying almost 4.66 billion people are active internet users.
Okay.
Encompassing 60% of the global population.
That's more than I thought. But it is still kind of crazy when you think about that.
40% is
dealing with 40% that don't have the internet.
Right.
But
you think their life's better without seeing all those electronic boobies?
I think, well, first off, no, those are wonderful. I don't know. I think there are obviously there's benefits that the internet brings you that can't be disputed. But I do think that there are people, if you're talking about from a pure happiness standpoint, I think there's probably something to be said for not having it. It's a blessing to occur. Everything is like this, right? Anytime we have an advancement, you can make the argument that too much of it can be a bad thing. And the internet is no different. Social media and the rest of that crap, if you're all lumping in together. But you, I mean, it's never going back. I mean, this.
Oh, you don't think the internet's just a fad?
At no point is this ever getting scaled back. If anything, it's just going to plow ahead. What scares me is that if something did happen and it did go down and you had something where you kind of had to, I don't know, recalibrate, I just think we've become so baby poo soft. I don't know what we would do without it.
It is also National Cat Day.
Oh, eh. Yeah, talk to Mike.
Who is the most famous cat to you?
Garfield.
Garfield.
Yeah, me too.
I almost said Heathcliff and then I stopped and was like, wait, no, other orange cat.
Heathcliff.
Yeah.
He was a cat too, right?
Yeah. Well, hence me saying the other orange cat. Is there another famous cat?
Well, you have Toonces.
Oh, yeah.
The driving cat.
The driving cat.
You have Felix the cat. Very famous. You have Tom of Tom and Jerry. Don't you? Yeah. Or was it Jerry?
Who's the famous...
Tom was the cat.
The ugly cat that was like famous on social media for years?
That was Angry or Grumpy Cat.
Grumpy cat, yeah. You have Mr. Bigglesworth. And don't forget about Mr. Jinxy from...
Meet the Fockers.
Meet the Fockers. So there's some famous cats on.
Okay. I like how you threw that one in there.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch, but you know, it's a famous cat.
Great movie.
It's Garfield, though.
Yeah, it's Garfield. Do we have enough sympathy for folks in Louisiana?
By the way, Grumpy Cat's real name was Tartar Sauce.
Okay.
All right.
Five named storms have hit Louisiana this year. Five. That is a record. The latest being Zeta. So for those counting at home, that's back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back named storms hitting Louisiana.
It's like the LeBron James fake championship of Miami storms.
It's like it's getting to the point where it's like you don't even read about it anymore. It's like, oh, another one?
I did see some. I mean,
terrible.
You see some stuff on, what do you call it? Internet. I've seen stuff on Twitter like 911. There was a thing down in New Orleans where 911, they couldn't take any more calls. So they were filtering them out to other agencies. And there's been some scary stuff. People going without power for a lot. But honestly, right now, I feel like with the election and with COVID, anything else, it's like you're just going to take a back seat, right? I mean,
yeah.
I guess the fires for a while kind of.
Well, for us.
They had their
but
day.
But probably not
for... Yeah, for the rest of the country, I'm sure they were like, oh, yeah.
They don't care.
It was on fire. Let's go back to yelling about something else.
Two other cats, famous cats. Well, three. Tony the Tiger.
Oh, yeah, you forget about.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're great.
Cat in the Hat. Mm. And Sylvester.
Well, I'll tell you what. More cats than I...
A lot of famous cats.
More cats than I gave it credit for. I apologize to cats.
Are you prepared for COVID-20? Because that is now a thing.
I'm still dealing with COVID-19. I think we're canceling Thanksgiving at our house.
Yeah, what do you mean? What does that mean?
Like,
nobody's going to dine together?
No one's going to dine together.
It is weird. Like, Halloween is on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen? Are people going
to
be out?
I've got candy ready, but I don't think anyone's coming to the door.
I don't either.
But we were all getting together at someone's house, and we're going to do Thanksgiving. And
John's
now,
house?
No, at my dad's house. And now I feel like that's... That's
shouldn't do it.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
That's probably wise.
Yeah.
because they're advising us against that.
Yeah, everyone's saying. So we were having that discussion today, and no one wants to be the one to say we should cancel it.
Right.
But I feel like everyone's kind of like, we should cancel
it. Everyone's uncomfortable with it.
Well, and no one wants to get any of the old sick, and I don't think the olds want to be sick. And then you got kids running around, and it's...
And, you know, it's just a year. It's hopefully just 1 year.
And the year has already been a big pile of crap anyway, so just...
And isn't there something kind of nice about just waking up on Thanksgiving Day at your own house and not having to do anything or host anyone or make anything?
I think I'm just going to go get Chinese food because they'll still be open and like have a Jewish Christmas, right? Go get your Mike's nodding. Go get some Chinese food, sit around and...
watch a movie.
Yeah, watch a movie.
You can't go to a movie theater, which is normally the Jewish Christmas with Chinese food, but watch yourself a movie.
And now I'm the Thundercats.
Yeah, there you go.
For heaven's sakes.
Did you guys mention Catwoman?
Hobbs. Catwoman. Well, that's a woman, though.
Well, but she's like...
She's a cat.
But it's a woman.
It's a sexy cat.
It's right in the name.
Yeah. Like, if we're celebrating bats, do we celebrate Batman?
What about Pink Panther?
I'm sure some do.
That's a cat.
And Hobbs.
Hobbs, yes.
Or Tigger. That's
Tigger,
a cat.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that's a tough
cat.
One to
he's
say.
He's a Tigger.
What's a tiger?
You know, he's a Tigger. He says that. That's the whole thing, is he says what he is, and he's a Tigger. He's not a tiger. He's a Tigger.
What? I'm confused and frightened. Mostly because of the way the word sounds.
Yeah, you need to stop saying that word.
And by the way, I'm changing it.
Changing what?
Hobbs is my favorite cat.
Hobbs is...
I love Calvin
Garfield's,
and Hobbs.
Garfield's better than
Garfield
Hobbs.
Garfield can eat it.
Garfield more famous than Hobbs, but
yes.
Yeah. That,
I used to love Garfield growing up.
Dude, have you... Calvin
I was
Hobbs?
Not a Calvin and Hobbes guy. I tried Calvin and Hobbes, and I just didn't. I mean, I was a kid, but I just didn't jive with it.
Calvin and Hobbes
great.
Was my jam.
Absolutely
to
great.
To this day, I enjoy Calvin and Hobbes.
A new variant of the coronavirus identified as COVID-20 by researchers from Switzerland and Spain was first observed in June in Spain.
Great.
It has been recorded in Spain at frequencies of above 40% since July.
Wait, I don't know what that means.
Well, it means it's spreading.
Oh. Can we just do can we take the president's approach of if we don't find the new COVID, then we don't have the new COVID. So let's just pretend that this study didn't exist and then therefore we don't have to worry about it.
You can take whatever approach you like, sir.
I'm doing it. This doesn't exist. It's fake.
The new variant of the coronavirus has increased from very low values prior to July 15th to 40 to 70% in Switzerland, Ireland, and the UK in September. It was also found to be prevalent in Norway, Latvia, the Netherlands, and France. Which, by the way, France just had a shutdown. A lockdown again.
Yeah, they're doing a lockdown. A bunch of the countries are.
They got a bunch of hospital beds filling up out there.
No, I will say that obviously that's scary because what has happened has been bad. But what I don't want is that this to come and go, right? Whether we come up with a vaccine or it burns out or becomes, you know, every year you have to take it like a flu shot or whatever. We learn to deal with it and we kind of move on. Because this isn't smallpox, right? It's just not. It's a very scary thing. A lot of people are dying. It's been huge economic impact. It's ruined a whole year. I get it. We will recover from this. We will bounce back. We will find a way to deal with that 100%. What I don't want is every single year diseases happen, right? You whether it's the swine flu H1N1 or this, you get, you know, all these sorts of things. Throughout my entire life, there's always been this, well, this could be it. What I don't want is every time that there's a disease that's found and it makes someone sick, we freak out and be like, it's the end of the world. And honestly, I'm afraid that we're gonna go down that road. Because welcome to the world. Since the beginning of time, there has been sickness and there has been illness. And you will have to deal with it. We had to deal with it before COVID. We're going to have to deal with it during COVID. And we're going to have to deal with it after COVID. So let's please all just keep our powder dry.
All right. Coming up next, COVID testing is coming to Fred Meyer.
Ooh.
And I've also got something out of the boy, it seemed like a good idea, but it wasn't department.
That's pretty much like 90% of what I do on
That's
my
from
day
me.
To day. Yeah, it's like,
yeah, that is your life, isn't it?
Hey, what did you do? Well, at the time, it seemed like a reasonable strategy.
Ooh, Morris the cat. Forgot him, too.
Wait,
remember him?
Which one was Morris?
He was the bastard Heathcliff, right?
Is that?
Girl.
I don't know.
Yeah, Morris the cat. Advertising mascot. He was...
Oh, is that Meow Mix?
Yeah, for the... Meow, 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 meow.
Okay.
Meow, 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 meow.
His name was Morris?
I remember Morris.
I didn't know that he had a name. I just thought that was their jingle.
Nine Lives brand cat food.
Was it Nine Lives?
Is that what it was?
I want chicken. I want liver. Meow mix, please D liver.
Oh, God. All right. Coming up next, what was I teasing? Oh,
something that sounded like a good idea and it wasn't.
Yeah, I've already teased it. Okay, yeah. we're coming back on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is in the news, October 29, 2020. A little late breaking news. They did find that hiker up on Mount Hood that was missing.
Yeah, it was the bend, right?
Yeah, Austin Mishler, 27-year-old. He'd been missing since Monday. They were looking for him again today. They did find him. He was dead about 9,400 feet up. He was in a crevasse up there. So
obviously,
had a fall.
Probably a slip. And you know, it's scary stuff up there. I mean, I like being up on the mountain, but you ever been up there? You ever hiked Mount Hood or been up at something that's actually a pretty serious hike, like an all-day thing or, you know, a technical mountain climb?
Not too technical. I mean, I did the St. Helens hike.
Yeah.
To the rim.
I've done a handful of those, and I did a volcano when we were over in Indonesia, and I am always amazed, because I'm not obviously a climber or anything. I'm not, you know, I have ropes or whatever, but I'm amazed at some of the challenging climbs and hikes that when you're going up mountains like this, and the level of nonchalance that people have, and I'm not saying that's the case here. Who knows what happened? But, you know, these things happen on a regular basis, and yet I see a lot of people, if you're up there, and they just kind of have this approach of like, they're not really prepared, right? They're not wearing, they didn't bring like proper gear. It's just like, oh, let's go hike up this mountain. And you're like, well, you know, there could be serious repercussions behind that. It's something that I don't know how many people take super seriously, and you probably should, because, well, I mean, it's a life or death situation in some of those things.
They're out there in sandals.
Yeah. Right, you just sometimes see it, or you see people up, and there's really narrow walkways through some of these passages, and you see people that are just cruising through there, and you're like, you know, you can slow down there, hold on to something.
Fred Meyer will be offering rapid COVID antibody tests at all of their pharmacies by the end of November.
You too can get a false negative or positive.
So Kroger Company announced it will be the first U.S. retailer to offer
get a record contract? What's happening?
Kroger Company announced it will be the first U.S. retailer to offer rapid antibody testing across the country. So, of course, that includes Freddy's. The antibody test involves a finger prick blood sample to detect antibodies. The test costs $25 and typically provides results within 15 minutes to let a person know if they have previously been infected.
Do we know how accurate these things are?
No. We don't. Bless you.
Boy, I got the sneezies now. I keep hearing, you know, like, varying things on this about...
Yeah, I don't know about the antibody test. I honestly have no interest in the antibody test. Like, what is that?
Well, I mean, the idea is... Suppose if you have it, some people claim that you're immune forever and now you're a Superman. Other people claim not so much, and that's my point, is it seems very...
Well, they don't know.
Yeah, they don't. No one knows. And plus, I've seen so many of these rapid antibody tests that turn out to be not true.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just don't... I mean, I don't have it now. At least I don't think.
I mean, I guess...
Right? So what is the point of knowing if I had it in the past?
I guess the point is, if you know that you've had it, then you don't... I mean, you don't have to necessarily worry about getting it, at least not right away.
I guess. I don't know. Anyway, $25, okay?
I'm with you. I probably would not get the rapid test, but
yeah. Like I mean, if you gave it to me for free, I'd do it.
You had to travel somewhere though, right? Like you need to get like a negative test.
But that doesn't help you with. It doesn't say if you have it now. It just tells you if you've had it in the past.
Had it in the past, yeah.
Now, the testing that tells you if you have it now, I think that's important.
That's like that PCR test.
I still don't understand why we don't have more of that for average blokes.
No,
but
I heard that the tests are perfect, and anybody that wants a test gets a test. Whatever they want. I heard that.
Well, you can get tested. I don't remember at least around here.
I don't remember where that was, but I heard it.
What's up with Claire Poche at Oregon Health Authority? You know her, Claire?
I do not know Claire.
You probably don't know Claire, but she's been in the news lately. This has made national headlines. You know, the Oregon Health Authority. Oh, by the way, big COVID day today.
Yeah.
And by big, I mean bad.
Yeah, it's
575 cases.
Well, look across the country. The numbers are not good. We're going in the wrong direction. Can I just, across the world, we're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's not just us.
No.
They said 575 new ones today. Anyway, she works at Oregon Health Authority, and she put out a video, a very tone-deaf video, of where she was dressed as a clown. And, okay, so it says, hey, the video is pretty mundane. She was just giving a coronavirus update from the Oregon Health Authority, right?
Sure.
So she's in front of a camera, and she's got someone else there with them who's also dressed up. And she said, her name's Claire Poche. She's like, hi, I'm Claire Poche from Oregon Health Authority with an update. And then she launches into the COVID death numbers
while wearing,
as a clown. It was like literally a clown show.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was very.
Claire!
It was really bad.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Well,
she's a doctor, by the way.
I guess you're just trying to get in the spirit of Halloween, but, you know, we've got like 800 people a day dying, so maybe.
So they were just doing that just for, you know, Halloween purposes,
yeah.
But it just...
They didn't mean anything by it.
No, they didn't.
That's
but
what
it
I say.
Was
like,
it
like,
was weird.
Look, cut them some slack, but at the same time, maybe not dress up when talking about death and disease.
Right. As a clown.
Yeah, well, can I just say don't dress up at all? Because I don't want you dressed up as He-Man or like a sexy cat when you're talking about people dying too. I think that would be quite weird. Wait, is Claire hot?
I can't answer that.
I don't know. She's behind a clown costume.
A hot clown?
I'm trying to think.
You ever seen a hot clown?
Yeah, there's sexy clowns out there, I'm sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think Suk would think any of them were sexy. He'd be running the other way.
Yeah, it's, you know. I'm just trying to think, like, if I got horrible news, but it was delivered by, like, a sexy whatever, like a sexy priest or angel, you know, they always do those costumes. Would that make it better, or would it just be?
I don't think so. I just think it makes it weirder.
It just makes it weirder.
You've already got enough to deal with.
You're like, Mr. Rop, I hate to tell you this, but your father has not made it. And then you look up and there's just like a great set staring at you. You're like, what?
That's great, but what did you just say?
It's a weird, really weird erection I'm dealing with right now, and a lot of grief. So just please just turn around. It's very uncomfortable for all of us.
All right, that's in the news. October 29, 2020. Hot 5 at 5 is next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.